Well, if you'll turn in your Bibles with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, please. Gospel of John, chapter 8. Gospel of John, chapter 8. How come I'm only in John, chapter 6? Better get with it here. All right. Very good. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then Jesus said to the Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen of your Father. Father, as we come unto thee, our Lord and our God, we pray that you will bless these moments now, and that you would cause our minds to be tuned in. Oh Lord, tune away all of those other things, all of the concerns, all of the worries, all of the fears, all of the plans, all of the stuff that would seek to dissuade us from your truth. And help us, oh God, for these but few moments to be tuned in. Oh Holy Spirit, that you would show us, teach us, and lead us in these moments together. We call upon you, our God, and we seek that you would be magnified. In Christ's name, amen. Well, I would think that we would all agree that freedom is in jeopardy in America. Our freedoms are being impinged upon. We have, for example, freedom of the press, one of the great freedoms that we have in our country, and yet there is no truth in the press. There is fake news all the time, and so we don't trust the press in those things. And the same thing is true with freedom of religion. We have freedom of religion to a degree, but it has been twisted to the point that this country, which was founded upon Judeo-Christian principles, and the very foundation of America that has made America great, is the truth of the Word of God, based upon the principles of the Scripture. And yet today, with the influx of all of the false religions and false religions that are all equal together, it has caused the freedom of religion to be weakened in many, many different ways. So freedom in general in America has been impinged in a lot of different ways. And though we have a legal right to that freedom, there are so many things that are morally wrong that are now defended by the very laws that have made this country great. It causes us to think that things are upside down in a lot of different ways. But I don't think this is anything new. Did you know that Adolf Hitler was duly appointed and elected, authorized head of the government in Germany, yet although he was legally the rightful ruler of leader of Germany, almost everything that they did was biblically wrong. And we see the same thing this day. So we come to the realization that freedom is jeopardized when truth is denied or destroyed. Jesus here is revealing that very truth in this, as he's teaching his disciples about freedom in Christ and that great freedom that we have in Christ. So notice in verse 30 and 31, the conditions of freedom in Christ that the Lord Jesus is talking about. In verse 30, the Bible says that he spake these words, and as he spoke them, many believed on him. Verse 31 goes on to say, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now, this word believed here is a word that means to have faith in someone or in something. And the scripture here is talking about those Jews which believed on him. They had a Jewish faith, but it did not include faith in Christ, that he was the Messiah, but when he spoke to them, they believed on him. They believe he is the Messiah. This is the Savior. This is the Lord. And so, one of the conditions of coming to Christ is freedom in Christ is faith in Christ alone. Many believed on him. Now, to believe on the Savior, they had to repent of something. They had to leave something. They no longer were having confidence in the Jewish traditions, in the Jewish practice of sacrifices and so forth. They were now leaving that. Repentance means a change of mind, and that results in a change of behavior, a change of direction. So these Jews were now repenting of that way. They were leaving that way, they were coming to faith in Christ as the Savior. And that's the way it is in salvation. To come to Christ means that you are leaving something and you're coming to this faith in Christ as your Savior. Faith and repentance go together, hand in hand. And you can't really have one without having the other when it comes to saving grace. So one of the conditions of believing on Christ is to come to him. Not only was faith a condition of freedom in Christ, but continuance was also. Notice verse 31. Jesus said, if ye continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. There were some that were there that heard, but did not believe. Some believed in Christ, but some did not. We will see that evidenced in the rest of the text today. But it is that continuing in the Word of God that is so important. I heard Al Janney say this one time. Al Janney was a great leader in Christian education, one of the founders of Christian schools in America. Earlier in our history, and he went to school in Fort Worth, Texas, where the president was a guy by the name of J. Frank Norris. They called J. Frank Norris the Texas Tornado. He was a real character, indeed. And so Al Janney was telling the story that when he was a freshman in Bible college there, that Dr. Norris was going to speak at one of the chapel messages, and so he had put it out to all the students, and he said, this is going to be an important message. You won't want to miss this one, and bring pencil and paper, because I want you to write down the points. They will be very, very important for you. And so Al Janney said he was all ready. He was right in the front row. He was a freshman, you know. He was ready for what Dr. Norris had to say. And he said, this is really important. Get out your pencil and paper. I want you to write this one down. He said, point number one is read. And everybody kind of looked at each other all over the place, and they thought, read. And he said, and I'm going to go right on to point number two immediately, because I don't want you to miss point number one. He said, read the Bible. And they were looking at each other, and he said, everybody knows that the Bible is the source of truth, and everybody knows that the Bible is the revelation of God. And we're all Bible college students. He said, everybody knows that the Bible, we need to read the Bible. And he said, are you ready for point number three? And he said, point number three is READTHEDIVLE. That's exactly what Jesus said. He's talking here about his disciples. He's talking about them, one of the conditions of this freedom in Christ, the power of God to be in your life, for God to be functioning and working, and to have the freedom of Christ in your life is to continue in the Word of God. What Norris was saying to his Bible college students is, you came here to study the Bible. Now, get yourself into the Word of God. Immerse yourself in the truth of the Word of God. Now, we believe that, but do you practice it? Are you in that Scripture and in that Word of God? Jesus here, remember, is talking to these new disciples, and he's telling them, this is their first discipleship course, that he's saying to them, he said to those Jews which believe, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. It is necessary that we continue. Maybe a modern day way of saying that is staying by the stuff. Continuing in that word of God, and continuing to read it, absorb it, meditate on it, let it affect our lives, have it working in our lives in a wonderful way. And when that happens, Jesus goes on here to share some promises with us of this freedom in Christ. He goes on in the promise number one here in verse 31. He says, then if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. So a disciple is a learner or a pupil, is one who is continually learning from their teacher, from their master teacher. And that's what the Word of God is. It is our master teacher. It is that one that Christ promised these new believers that they would become his disciples if they continued in his word. And what a great lesson that is for us, recognizing these things. So what did his disciples learn? What did Jesus' disciples learn? He says in verse 32, and ye shall know the truth. Do you think this world knows the truth at all? They do not get it. But you do. That's one of the reasons that you are here, is because you believe the truth. You believed in Christ as your Savior. You repented of that sin. You are believing on the Lord Jesus. And it is that truth that Jesus promises that his disciples will learn. So, what is that truth? Well, that truth is that Jesus is the living truth. John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the very living truth. That's why there are the four Gospels. They record everything that Jesus did, everywhere that he went, and everything that he said, at least to a great degree. All of those things that are recorded are to show us and to teach us about this living truth that meant so much as the living truth. He was the very essence of the truth of God and came in the flesh for us to get it. But not only is Jesus the living truth, but the Bible is the written truth. John 17:17 says that thy word is truth. The word of God is that written truth. So as we understand the truth, Jesus says that the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth of Jesus Christ and everything that he is and everything that he did and everything that he said and everything that he promised, and the written word of God that we have recorded in the whole rest of the word of God, that written truth. So when that comes into our lives, then our disciples know him and know his word. And one of the promises then of God for us is that we continue in his word, and when we do, God then does a wonderful thing, and he says, the truth shall then set you free. That word, make you free, set you free, is how liberating is that truth of God. It is, that word free means to be liberated, means to be delivered from. It is why then the person like my grandfather, my mother's father, was the hopeless drunk in Ohio, in a little town called Burkles, Ohio. He was the town drunk. And my grandmother prayed for him. And my grandfather just beat her for it more. And so they were having revival down at the church house. And my grandmother, Grandpa Wick, came home from work on Friday night. And he went in, like he always did on Friday nights, to get a shower. And then he was going down to the tavern. And my grandmother got into his wallet, and she took out his paycheck for the whole week, because she knew he would go down and spend it all getting drunk. And so she took the paycheck and went to church with her four daughters. Grandpa came out, got all showered and ready to go, and went down to the bar and started drinking. And of course they wanted money for his liquor, and he got into his wallet to lay down his paycheck, but it wasn't there. And he immediately knew what happened. And he was furious. And so he said, I'll be back and I'll pay you for that. My wife took my paycheck. And so they all kind of chuckled down at the bar. Not only made him more mad. And so he went down to the church house, and he's standing outside this old country church house. Doors all open. Windows are all open. No air conditioning in those days, and he's standing out there under a big tree. And the more that preacher preached, because he could hear him, the madder he got. And he was thinking, when I get hold of Alice, I'm going to drag her by the hair home and beat her. She'll never embarrass me like this again. And so he stood there just becoming angrier and angrier, and the preacher kept preaching. The old leather-lunged, old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone preacher, you know, and preaching along, and my grandmother was there with the girls, and anyway, during the invitation, the evangelist said, and if you are burdened for somebody to come to Christ as their Savior, he said, will you come down to the altar right now and pray? And my grandmother was the first one that stepped out. My grandfather's looking through the back door, through the door that went right out outside to the tree where he was. And he's looking and he sees his wife come right down, right in front of the pulpit. There were other people around, but she was right in his sight, his line of sight. And he saw that. And he knew who she was praying for. And the preacher said, God's dealing with somebody. God's calling you to come to him now to make that decision to trust Jesus, to believe on Jesus. And my grandmother told me the story ever since I was a child that my grandfather ran down that aisle and fell down beside her. And you can imagine her shock as she looks up and she knew what she had done. And he's weeping and he says, Alice, I need Jesus. And that evangelist came down next to him and her and led my grandfather to Christ. And you know what happened? He was no longer the town drunk. God saved him that night. God delivered him from liquor that night, and it became his enemy, and he was set free. The truth shall make you free. God delivers from addictions. God delivers through the power of salvation. When you become a disciple of Christ and you come to him and continue in his word, that one of the promises that Jesus gives us is that the truth shall make you free. Power of God is amazing. We sang this morning the song, there is power in the blood. That was not just something that we were singing to take up time this morning. It was a song to our encouragement that there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. That what he died for on the cross is liberating. And it is that power of God that works in our lives amazingly and wonderfully. But you know what? There were objections. Even to the Son of God who had come to this earth, and there were objections from those that didn't believe on him. And verse 33 says, they answered him, we are of Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. That is, we were never slaves. How sayest thou that we shall be made free, or ye shall be made free? They said they had this misunderstanding, because they were trying to understand salvation in through their human reasoning. And they didn't get it, because lost people are blind to the truth. And so they had their human reasoning and their excuses for not understanding. And Jesus then answers them. And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Thus the title for the message, Free Indeed. Jesus said, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You see, they misunderstood what Jesus was talking about. They interpreted everything through their human reasoning. They were not allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth of God to their heart. That's why they did not believe. That's why they had not come to Christ. So it's possible that people can hear the truth of God, can know that Jesus is the Savior, could see the Son of God, but they didn't believe. And there are people that are in that same condition today, that are misunderstanding the truth of God, to have never come to Christ as their Savior. And Jesus here is talking about them, that they have not come to Him as Savior. But if the Son makes them free, if faith in Jesus Christ will make you free, then you are free indeed. Jesus here speaks to them not only about their misunderstanding, but their misrepresentation of the of these things. Notice verse 37, where he said, "I know ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me." Jesus was the Son of God. And he said, because my word hath no place in you. Jesus recognized exactly what was going on in this situation, that they had religion, but they did not have the relationship. That is, they had Judaism and all of its rigmarole, all of the rituals and all of the traditions and all of the things, but they didn't have the reality of Jesus Christ as their personal Savior in that relationship. That's why God says, that's why Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. You must be born of God and changed in that relationship with Jesus Christ, because he becomes your Savior. It's not in religion. It's not in Catholicism. It's not in Judaism. It's not in Buddhism. It's not in Islam. It's not in being a Baptist. It's not in religion. It's in your relationship to Jesus Christ as the Savior. Those who believed on him were revolutionized that day. Not only that, but they had resentment. Jesus said, "Ye seek to kill me." They hated him. They despised him. They wouldn't come to Christ as the Savior because of that resentment. And Jesus points that out to them. It was one of the things that kept them back from coming to him, because they said, "No, we are a worshiper. We're of Abraham's seed. We are Jews. We have our own way." It kept them from coming to repentance and coming to that saving grace of God. Their misrepresentation, Jesus points out, he said, "My word hath no place in you." They had human reasoning, but they did not have righteousness. They had not come to the wonderful saving grace of God. And their objections, Jesus is meeting those objections of misunderstanding, misrepresentation, and their mistake. Jesus then points out in John chapter 8, verse 38, "I speak that which I have seen of my Father, but ye, that which ye have seen with your Father." Now Jesus is drawing the parallel to them. And he's saying to these Jews who would not believe, he is saying, "You are worshiping and you are following the wrong Father, because my Father is the heavenly Father in heaven." Jesus was that Son of God that he sent to this world so that we could see God in the flesh. And Jesus is telling them that they are not worshiping the right Father at all. They are... their mistake is they are worshiping the devil. Same passage, a couple verses later, verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, but there is no truth in him," because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Jesus here is speaking about Satan, about the devil. And he's saying the mistake is that you are following the religion. You are resenting the one that God sent as the Messiah. you are reasoning in yourself instead of coming in saving grace and believing on the Lord Jesus. And he's telling them in no uncertain terms, you're following the wrong Father. Heavenly Father is the one that sent his own Son for our sins and paid that price for us. In verse 36 of this passage, Jesus says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It is that wonderful saving grace of God that God works in the life. And when you become a child of God in saving grace, you continue in Christ. You continue to grow in the Lord. You continue in His Word. You continue to know the truth. And His truth liberates you from the bondage of sin. And sins then, which used to plague your life and control you and keep you from that which is right, now you are delivered and transformed by it. You are a new person in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And the truth shall make you free. It is that wonderful thing that only God can do. Let me share this little story with you. During World War II, on June 1st, 1945, the crew of a B-29 suffered a direct hit from a shell as they were flying over Tokyo. Half of the plane's nose was blown away. The pilot was strapped in his seat, dead. The co-pilot's left arm was hanging uselessly, and he was bleeding profusely all over his body. All the gauges in the plane were inoperable, so he didn't know his speed, didn't know his direction he was going, and didn't know his altitude. The co-pilot that was trying to rescue the plane, he was flying blind. If they were to bail out over Japan, it meant sure death. And so, being in that hopeless situation, that he didn't know what to do, when off in the distance, he saw two American P-61 Black Widow night fighters suddenly appear on the horizon and coming straight toward him. They immediately analyzed the situation. They radioed to him, and they said, we will fly you back, follow us. And one on either side of him guided him all the way back to Iwo Jima, where he landed safely. They never met each other. The night fighters were stationed at a different base. But in 1984, 40 years later, the crews that survived that action of those two planes met with the bombardiers that were on the B-29, and they met right here in California at a reunion on Long Beach, and what a joyous time that was for them. Now here's the spiritual application to the story. Persons without Christ are flying blindly. They are flying blindly towards death. You're of your father, the devil. Lust of your father, you will do. He was a liar from the beginning. He is lying to you now. He will lead you in the direction of death and hell. We must come along to these who are destined for disaster and guide them to the truth. Fly them to the truth. Love them to the truth. Show them the truth. Because if there's anything that they need, it is to be set free. Maybe you're here today and you've lost your compass. Maybe you need that guidance to safety. Maybe you are afraid that your life is headed for disaster, crashing, and destruction. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. God would seek to work in the life of anyone who believed. God is not willing that any should perish. That's why he sent his Son to this earth. That's why Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That's why he paid the price for in saving grace, that whosoever will may come to him, believing on him. Here was an example of those Jews that repented of their way and received and turned to Jesus Christ as their Savior. It's exactly what God would seek to do in every individual's life. Say, if you haven't made that decision, would you let us come alongside you, show you that way, and make that decision to believe on the Lord Jesus and to receive him as your Savior? And let the truth of God then take effect in your life to work powerfully, dynamically, transformationally in your life through the wonderful grace of God. Oh, the Bible here is talking about being free indeed. May I say this to you? My grandfather never regretted making that decision. But there are some people who have not settled that decision, but they are regretting it eternally and not coming to Christ as their Savior. Don't miss Jesus. He's the one that will make us free indeed. Father, as we come unto thee, our God, we thank you, O Lord, that you are that heavenly Father that loves us and that sent your own Son. And then when he went back to heaven to make intercession for us, that then our Father, the Holy Spirit, came to dwell in all who will believe. Oh, thank you, dear God, for that freedom that we have and that we can have in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today, or maybe someone who's listening to this broadcast, that God, that they would make that decision by believing on you, receiving Christ as their Savior, and repenting of their way to accept the Jesus way, and then to continue in your truth and in the way of God. Oh Lord, may today be the day of salvation for someone in whom you are seeking to work, just like you did in my grandfather. Our God, oh Lord, I ask it in Jesus' precious name.